Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. This is Dr. Gwyneth, and we are so excited to get into the Word of God today. I'm live from China. We're believing that great things are ahead here. It's been, yes, over 30 years since I've been here, and I was just in meditation and praying, and the Lord spoke to me that the prophecy that was given to me by Nora Lamb over 30 years ago, that God is doing that in this very hour. So if you have prophetic words out there and promises, just hold on. It's not how we make it work or how we try to plan and structure, but it's by God's Spirit. So we want you just to take a few seconds, go get your Bibles or your iPhones or your iPads, your MacBook, and let's get into the Word of God. You are listening to Lifestyle for a Lifetime, Holiness. How many of you know without holiness, the Bible says, no man shall see God. So we want to walk in repentant hearts, walk upright before God, and walk in His fullness. You know, we had a good time last night here. The power of God really moved in the people, and they went to a whole nother level just to give testimony. But we're so excited to be a part of China and to be able to impart our part of what God has given us to do today. But we are continuing our lesson today on why prayers are not answered. And just to give a 3-minute synopsis, we've discussed about the name it, claim it, confess it, possess it. What you say is what you get. I'm a faith person, and I'm really careful what I say because there's power in words. But sometimes it's not just because of your faith, but it's because of wrong living, unforgiveness, unconfessed sin, maybe unfruitful Christian lives, and unresolved family conflicts. And that is where we are going to start today. So we just want to make sure that you understand that God, He wants to answer our prayers. But we have to understand what the Bible says as a whole about the principles of successful praying. And there's special conditions, there's special guidelines, and of course there's areas that block us. And that's what the enemy's tactic is, to block us from being answered our wrong living, wrong praying, and wrong expecting. But how many of you know we can change these areas in our lives and we can be confident? And this is one thing I want you to leave today, that you are confident that every prayer that you have prayed will be answered. And it's all in the Word of God about how we can go about and see these things happen. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to start in 1 Peter 3 and 7. Because last week we talked about the unconfessed sin. We don't want to have wickedness in our hearts. Give a brief synopsis while you're turning there. It's in Isaiah 59, it talks about iniquities have made, separates us from God. Whatever we ask, we receive. But we have to, what, keep His commandments. And, of course, we want to be able to abide in Him. So 1 Peter 3 and 7, it talks about husbands. It says, likewise, understanding way and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that what? Your prayers may be answered. So do you know that we can have hindrance in our prayers? And this also applies to you wives and also to other family members too. If there is a strained relationship, or maybe there's a mistreatment, or there's a lack of respect, a lack of honor, it can short circuit the power of your prayers. If your relationships are not harmonious, So we want you just to tug. God is tugging on your heart. There's a tug there. And God is saying, okay, you need to call your sister because you have been so different to her, because you have talked behind her back. You need to call your brother because you just disrespected him, and your mother, how you disrespected her, or your father. Maybe the Lord is telling you there's a colleague at work that you just keep talking about and you're not honoring and respecting. That could be one of the reasons that your prayers are unanswered. Or maybe you wives, maybe your husband, you're going to all your friends and you're talking about how bad he is. And that he's just a no good husband that don't provide. Well, you think God is going to answer our prayers if you are disgrading your family members? We want to be able to lift them up. So if we have unresolved family conflicts in the church, as well as our family outside of the church, there's going to be that lack of honor. And a great man said, show me who you honor, and I will show you your future. It's those that we honor, because everybody wants to be affirmed. Everybody wants to be encouraged, and everybody wants to know that they are an asset. So we have to be able to let that go and to honor and to respect. Maybe you're a sibling out there and you have been mistreating your brother or your sister. And maybe some of the difficulties you're having at school is because of how you've been mistreating your sister or your brother, and then people are mistreating you. There's a law of reciprocity. God, he has it set up in his word of the power of reaping and sowing. You know, years ago they used to have little buttons and signs that said, love is contagious. You know, everything, you know, this last year in America, I think they've had the flu virus, and every time everything is contagious, and you know, all over the world, different things. But, you know, love is too. We've been just practicing love here in China, and our waiter, the head guy, we've just been telling him how good he is, and he's doing such a great job, and the more we tell him, the better he gets. And when he sees us, you know what? He says, hi, Miss Williams. Hi, come on in. You know, it's contagious. And all the other customers, and we're like, wow, that may be why we're not walking in the favor and the blessings of God. But, and then we, you know, he got so that he was doing more and more and more every time we go in there. He wanted us to have the best because we believe that he was the best, and we acknowledged his service. But how many other people probably said, we need to eat. We need to eat right now. You know, when people are hungry, they can get so moody. You know, we need to eat right now. Oh, we got to wait 30 minutes. He probably gets that all week long, probably gets it every day. Even our family, there's probably unresolved conflicts of constantly hitting and hitting and hitting and striking and pointing what's wrong. Well, the same way with Edmund. You know, we start loving on him, and we know him by name. And then when I call for a food order, he says, oh, is this Miss Williams? And we get special service the same way with your family members. And even with God, God says, I don't even hear your prayers. He says, I don't even hear your prayers until you have what? What does he say? You come to the altar, but you have ought against your brother. You're constantly keeping confusion in the church. And I just want to, and I'm going to tell you, just go back to that point with Edmund. If your pastor at the church, one of the things that they have such a hard time, if you're keeping up confusion in your church, constantly nitpicking on everything that goes on in administration, everything that the pastor does or doesn't do, or that it's wrong or that it's right. God, you know, that's hard on the pastor. And God is wanting you to resolve those conflicts in the family of God. He's wanting you to resolve those conflicts that you are having and let those go, because if you're constantly having problems, constantly sick, constantly because you're keeping up stuff in the church. And God wants you to resolve those conflicts now and to let those people go and begin to see the good that your pastor's doing, the good that sister so-and-so is doing, that brother so-and-so is doing, and start beginning to affirm them and not to be nitpicking. Because just as Edmund, all of the negativity he gets all week, everybody needs love. And even one of our waitresses, she was so down and so out, and everybody had been just giving her a hard time. And when you start loving and resolving and affirming, it's contagious. It's contagious. And those unresolved conflicts, God says, when you go to your brother and go to your sister, instead of stirring up strife and keeping up confusion in the church, then you'll have your healing. You'll be free. Your heart is repentant. You know, there was an old saying, it's not how high you jump or how long you pray. God looks at your heart. It's a heart issue. You can pray all day. You can dance all night. But it goes back to how straight you're walking with God and how you're resolving the issues with your brothers and sisters in the Lord and in the natural. And then God says, then I will answer your prayer. Then I will be there. So if you've been mistreating your little brother or your big brother or your little sister or your husband or your wife, then that's going to come back to you, and you're not going to have your prayers answered. And when you have the stress, it can put the disease, the dis-ease, the constant struggles and things that you are actually setting yourself up to. So back to the scripture, You husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way and grant her honor. So the lesson this week is I want you to try to honor everyone. If you're in management, if you're a pastor, a leader, if you're coworkers, do something special this week. And just honoring them. How can you honor them in a special way? How can you honor your mother? Not just on, you know, Mother's Day. I think Father's Day is, I think it's this Sunday in the U.S. But honoring your mother, honoring your father, your sister, your brother. And you will find that the blessings and the very things that you're looking for and believing for, those unanswered prayers will be answered. You know, maybe there's even loved ones that have gone home to be with the Lord, or they're no longer here on earth, and you mistreated them. Or maybe they mistreated you, and you feel like that you were the righteous one, and that they owe you apology. Sometimes we have to apologize, and we have to say, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive that person for how they treated me when they were here on earth, and I release them now. They're in the grave, or their spirit man is still alive somewhere, but you have. Because that could be why your prayers are not answered and unresolved. To honor. You know, I used to have a friend that said, I hate my mom. I'll never go. When she dies, I'll never go to her funeral. You know, can you imagine carrying that grief and that hatred for all those years because of something that happened when she was a kid? She ended up, when her mom passed, going to her funeral. But for years, while her mom was on earth, she never honored. She wouldn't even let her see her child. So those are things that God wants us to look deep in our heart and resolve those. So if there is a strained relationship or mistreatment or lack of respect and honor, you can short-circuit the power of your prayers. But if our relationships are in harmony and it states in the Word, and I want you to turn with me to Matthew, and we're going to look at, let's look at Matthew 18. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. You're listening to Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness, and we are talking about reasons our prayers are not answered. It's not because we didn't name it and we didn't claim it and we didn't speak to that mountain and we command you to fall. We did because we did, you know, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. We named it and we claimed it. No, it's because sometimes God, He just wants us to look in our heart and see what is there. Because God, He has promises. And He says in Matthew 18:19, again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three, verse 20, gather in the name, there I am with them. So here we see that if our relationships two are in agreement and we are in harmony. I love to hear singing where people are harmonizing. It's good to be in unison when you're singing. But there's nothing like, you know, having the harmony as well. So if we agree on earth about anything that thing they may ask, it'll be done for them by the Father in heaven. So, you know, we don't want to, you know, I really believe in prosperity. And I believe we can ask God for things and He does them. But when we're about God's kingdom business, God just automatically does it. You know, the scripture you can stand on, He says, if you seek first the kingdom of heaven, His righteousness, everything is going to be added unto you just by seeking His kingdom where you can't work for it. And I love the testimony where Pastor Starr, you know, she had this job, you know, making almost $250,000 she'd be making now over in American money. But God told her to give up that job. Well, a lot of people can work for things. But when you seek first God's kingdom, His righteousness, all those things that you want and need, and you're in right standing with Him, He's going to give it to you. And you're going to just walk into it. This is the righteousness of right standing. You're just going to walk into it. You're going to run into and walk into those blessings of God. So I love reading the Word, and I like, you know, it's nothing like getting in the scriptures. I was going to quote the scripture, but let's turn our Bibles quickly. We're going to look at the book of James. And even though you may know the scriptures, as again, it bears repeating to say, it's always good to turn and read the Word of God, because there's always like revelation. You can read it one time and read it again. You can read it today and read it tomorrow, and it just has so much more meaning. Or as you're reading it, like, oh, you may look at the verse before, the verse after, and God's Word is just illuminated. So let's look at some of the ways that we can pray wrong praying. So James 5 and 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So here we have wrong praying, and we're praying. You ever had a half-hearted prayer, half-heartedly praying? But if our prayers are offered in faith, God, He's going to be there. He's going to be there with us. And He says our sins are going to be forgiven. But if we begin to confess, and I think maybe this week, you know, maybe there's something that you've done or said. Let's have a time as your assignment, because we have to practice, you know, practice this. But that if you can go and confess your sins, these are some of the principles and practical things that are actually is a part of the cleansing process that takes place when we confess our sins. Then God, He is going to be there, and He's going to be faithful, He's going to be just, and He's going to be able to forgive us our sins, because He's a righteous God. And you have to remember, when you're confessing your sins, what does that do? When you confess your sins, it gets you into the position of being in right standing. Because when you don't want to confess your sins, then you are actually holding pride. You may think you haven't done anything wrong. And most people, I have seen people that will lie just to say they're right. So sometimes it's good just to let your guard down and just say, look, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. You're right. And even if for the sake of arguing, you don't want to lie, but, you know, even if you are right, just say, you know what, I'm wrong. I just, you know, or just say, look, I just want to give this to God. I apologize. Just to say, I'm wrong. To confess. Some people will go to their grave because they are thinking that they're right. But if we confess, then we're going to be in right standing. And then the scripture says you are going to be powerful and effective. So how many of you there want to be powerful? How many of you want to be effective? Do you know that unforgiveness can make you lose your right mind because you're in wrong-mindedness? When you confess, you're in the right mind. And in right standing. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. You're listening to Lifestyles for a Lifetime. And we are talking today about wrong living and how it can affect you from having your prayers unanswered. Our discussion today has been on unresolved family conflicts. The time has passed. We are going to close with this prayer. That today, that you would confess your sins, because the scripture says you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss. You have wrong motives, that you may spend it on pleasures. And this is one thing, when you seek God's kingdom, His righteousness, when you pray and ask for forgiveness, these are just a few of the keys. And we have, please tune in next week. But we just decree and declare in the heavenly that you will confess your sins this week, that you will go to your family members, that unresolved conflicts, even if they're passing away, no matter how hard it may be for you, just go and know that the Holy Spirit will be with you. Honor somebody this week and begin to affirm them, just as we did with Edmund. And at the end of our last time we had lunch there, we actually wrote him out a commendation and just saying how well his service was. So this week, as you go forth until next week, go and affirm someone, bless someone, honor someone, and ask them for forgiveness, even if you are in the wrong, because someone are in the right. It takes both sides. Even if you were wronged, because that is one of the key releases. So examine your heart and say, Lord, is there anyone in the past or even in right now that I have held on to and have unforgiveness? Lord, forgive me. Go to your brother, your sister, someone at church. And if you're gossiping, God wants you to stop it and focus inwardly on the things you need to change about your life, not the things that other people need to change. Let's put our eyes on ourselves this week. Examine our hearts, resolve the conflicts, and walk in the power and blessings of God, and see how quickly those unresolved things are resolved. Husbands, love your wives. And your wives, they have to, in an understanding way, and grant her honor. And wives, grant your husband's honor. That's why so many divorces, because there's no honor. As fellow heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So again, if you are in a strained relationship, or if you're mistreating, or if there's lack of respect and honor, it can short circuit the power of your prayers. Let's focus this week on harmony. And the one key that the devil has is to try to divide and conquer. And if you can recognize that it's him and stand and say, no, I'm going to stand on the promises because I'm going to be in agreement. Because I know in the word of God, if two of us agree on earth about anything they may ask, it's going to be done for them by the Father in heaven. And we want to see God in heaven working on our behalf. So we close today and we say favor with God over your life and favor with man. And your assignment today is to go forth and make it work. Don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer. And as we go next time, we'll talk about the other wrong praying. Selfish prayers, prideful prayers, being vague, and some of the things, wrong expectations, and what the scripture says about that, even wrong understanding, and what should be our response to unanswered prayer. There's so much more, but we will continue to go forth in this series. But we just pray that you have strength, and remember, let's examine our hearts. It's not how long we pray, but it's our heart. It's not, as they say, we jumped and shouted and prayed loud. We had such a good time, but we have to still examine our hearts. It's not how high we jump or how long we dance, but it's how straight we walk when we come down. It's always go to a heart issue. So we just pray God's blessings up on you in Jesus' name. And I just want to close with this saying, it's a quote. He prayed for strength that he might achieve. He was made weak that he might obey. He prayed for wealth that he might do greater things. He was given limitations that he might do the better things. He prayed for riches that he might be happy. He was given little that he might be wise. He prayed for power that he might have the praise of men. And he was given trial that he might feel the need for God. He prayed for all things that he might enjoy life. And he was given life that he might enjoy all things. And he had received nothing that he asked for. All that he hoped for, his prayer was unanswered. But he was most blessed. I heard the man in China, the richest man on the news, he said this yesterday. He said, I love my life better when I made $16 a month. But it goes back to the heart issue. God wants us as kingdom people to have wealth for wealth distribution. But we won't get to those positions and get to those places until our hearts are in conditions and he can trust us in the things that he gives us. But as we seek his kingdom, as we seek his righteousness, everything that we ask or need, he's going to give to us when we get in right position. So there goes back to the law of reciprocity of why we ask and what we're asking for. So let's be hearers of the word that we may receive the wealth and the riches for the kingdom business. Because there is a law of reciprocity. And we believe that when we walk and hit the bullseye of God's will, there is the abundance in every area of our life, the natural as well as the spiritual. So we say to you today, show me who you honor. That is determination of your future. Honor God, be in right standing, because he has great wealth in the spiritual as well as in the natural for you. Walk the straight and narrow path. Examine your heart and be harmonious in the things that God has for you. For where two agree for the kingdom work, it shall be added unto you. Blessings to you and blessings to the kingdom of God.